Micah 6, verse 8. The prophet writes, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Again and again, the scripture makes clear that God wants you to walk humbly with him. Unfortunately, this doesn't come naturally to us. Pride is our default setting. Pride is so frustrating. We know it's bad, and yet it seems inevitable. It just comes up again and again. In fact, as we fight against pride, it's like peeling an onion. With every bit of pride we get rid of, there just seems to be more pride underneath. The Bible repeatedly tells us that God is actively against the prideful, but he exalts the humble. He lifts them up. In Isaiah 2, verse 11, we read this: "The haughty looks of man shall be brought low. The lofty pride of man shall be humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up. It shall be brought low." Or here's 1 Samuel 2, verse 7. "The Lord brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap and makes them sit with princes." And repeatedly Jesus said, here's Luke 14, verse 11, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humble. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." In the passage of scripture we're going to consider today, Peter is calling you to humble yourself before the greatness and goodness of God. Listen now to the word of the Lord. It's 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. Peter writes, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." This is the word of the Lord. These few verses are a call to action. Peter is exhorting you towards a particular action. He explains why you should take this action and then why refusing to do so is actually ridiculous. So here's what he's saying. Peter is telling you to humble yourself. There's the command. It's that simple. Humble yourself. It's repeated here. We've got clothe yourselves with humility. And then again there in verse 6, humble yourselves. I mean, that's the point. That's what we're supposed to do. God would have you leave here today knowing that you need to humble yourself. And yet there's more here in this passage that we need to consider. In fact, I want to just ask this question. Who is this passage about? Primarily, who is it about? It's full of instructions for you. Listen again, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So we come up a lot in this text, right? The people of God, Peter, remember, he's writing to Christians who are dispersed, striving to serve the Lord in the midst of difficulties. Well, there's not much difference between who he wrote to originally and us today. These words apply to us. It's telling us what we are to do. But beloved, this passage isn't about you. It's about God. He's the main subject of this text. We're only in view in how we ought to respond to him. You see, it's just pride to assume it's all about us. This tells us what God loves and what God hates, what God cares about and what he is able to do. It tells us who God is against and who God is for. Specifically, Peter tells us that God is against the proud, but is favorable towards the humble. And perhaps most importantly, it tells us that God cares for the humble. Therefore, we should humble ourselves. So if we step back and we recognize what this passage is teaching us about God, well, then the only reasonable response is that we would humble ourselves before Him. Once we see who He is and our need, we must humble ourselves before Him. It's actually all that makes sense. There in verse 5, he says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. So humility towards one another is an attitude in which you put others first. It's intentionally thinking about the needs and the wants and the desires and the concerns of others as worthy of more attention than your own. Humility is well defined by Philippians chapter 2. There Paul writes these words, Philippians 2, starting at verse 3, says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. We so naturally are concerned with what we're concerned with what we want, with our desires. And here we're being told to take the attention off of ourselves and put it on others, to actually think about their needs, their wants, before we would ever even get to our concerns. And of course, our great example is Jesus. He humbled himself. In fact, Paul goes to it immediately, so I'll just keep reading. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which was yours in Christ Jesus. So the humility he just called us to is like Jesus's humility. And then he shows us what he means. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself and then was exalted. Again and again, the scripture tells us this works for us too. This is the pattern. We look to him, we see how Jesus humbled himself, and then we should trust that God will take care of us when we do the same. If we come back to our passage, verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. It's an interesting image he gives us here, to put on, to wear humility, to wrap ourselves up in humility. When we put humility on, we're dressing like Jesus. We look like him. Think of it this way. Humility is the Christian uniform. It's the Jesus jersey, right? When we follow Jesus, this is what we clothe ourselves in. Clothe yourselves in humility. Now, you would never allow yourself to be naked in public. Christians must never allow themselves to be out without the clothing, the wrap of humility. We must always be dressed in humility. So, humble yourselves before the greatness of God. Humble yourselves before the greatness of God. This passage tells us how incredible, how great God is. God is great, and you aren't. He is the great one. In pride, we act as if we're the best. No, it's the Lord. God, he, the maker of heaven and earth, the one sustaining the universe by the word of his power, he's the one who is truly great. He is the self-sufficient one. He's the all-knowing one. You, on the other hand, you are weak and needy. You are limited in your knowledge and your abilities, but not God. He can do whatever he wants and no one can stop him. He has all knowledge, all wisdom. He is the great one. How foolish are we to puff ourselves up, to draw the attention to us rather than to him. Now, Peter tells us that God is against the proud, but he's for the humble. Look at verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for, so he's giving us a reason why we should humble ourselves. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, just think about those terrifying words. God opposes the proud. When you are prideful, you're putting a target on your back, right? You are saying, God, come get me. You're making his opposition to you. No, even as a believer, when we are prideful, God is opposed to that pride in us. He wants to smash it. You cannot imagine anything worse than having Almighty God against you, opposed to you. The prideful have made themselves God's enemy. Think with me. Why is it that God opposes the proud? Well, it's because the proud are lying. They're lying chiefly about God, but they're also lying about themselves. They're lying about reality, how things really are. The proud are saying, I'm the best, when God's the one who's the best. They're saying, I don't need God's help. I'm self-sufficient. I can exalt myself. I can take care of myself. All of that's false. God is against those lies. The humble, they say things like, I am weak and God is strong. I will trust God to exalt me in his good time. The humble say, I need God's help. And they acknowledge that God cares for them. There's nothing worse than having God Almighty as your enemy. But beloved, there's nothing better than having God Almighty for you, having him on your side. You can have God as your ally. You know, just imagine, there you are in the schoolyard and someone's picking on you, but then your big brother comes. You're like, ha-ha, I'm safe. Well, we've got God, not just a big brother. To have the Lord on your side is incredible. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Oh, humble yourselves before the greatness of God. Those who refuse to wear the garment of humility are inviting God's opposition. But those who gladly cover themselves with humility, they will receive God's favor. So you should humble yourself, not only because God is great, but because God is good. Humble yourself before the greatness and the goodness of God. There's this whole passage in a sentence. Peter's calling you to humble yourself before the greatness and the goodness of God. Where do you see God's goodness in this passage? Surely we see his power, his might, his strength. But how about his goodness? Let me read it again. Verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Ooh, that's good. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Oh, that's good. Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That's really good. We see God's goodness first in his grace. So stop acting like you don't need God. Stop pretending that you're self-sufficient and independent and you've got this. No, the truth is you need God's grace. And he invites you to ask for his help. His might, his strength, they're used for our good. He is mighty to save. He exalts the lowly. He lifts them up. He calls us to give him our concerns because of his care. There in verse 5 at the end, when it says that he gives grace to the humble, this is reminding us of the gospel. God's grace, this gift that we don't deserve. But the gospel is only good news for those who recognize their need. That's why when we're sharing the gospel, we always have to get to the bad news. That people are sinners deserving of God's wrath. Because once they see that, then they understand how incredible it is that Jesus paid the penalty in our place. He died as our substitute so that we could be forgiven. But you have to come to this humbling realization that you need God's grace if you're ever to receive it. In Mark 2, Jesus said these words, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came to call not the righteous, but sinners." Jesus says he's offering forgiveness to those who recognize they need forgiveness, right? We don't deserve God's favor. Salvation is entirely of God's grace. I mean, if you wanted one word to summarize Christianity, how about the word grace? God giving us what we don't deserve. Just listen to these words, familiar words from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 6. "While we were still weak, while we were powerless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We could not save ourselves, so he did what was necessary." He continues in verse 8, "God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We deserve to die, but he died in our place. It's summarized well at the end of chapter 6. So Romans 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." Get the image in your mind. A wage is what you earn, right? So the paycheck, what you have earned for all of your sinful actions, is death. The paycheck you deserve is the death penalty. And we're talking about death eternal, unending torment away from God. "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift," here's grace, "the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This gift is only received by those who humble themselves and ask for God's mercy. For those who recognize they need God's help. Christianity is about the humble dependence of trusting wholly on God, both to save us from our sins and to sustain us every day and to bring us ultimately into God's presence. All those who admit their need receive grace. So what about you? Have you humbled yourself and asked for God's mercy? If not, you need to do so now. Don't wait a moment longer. We see God's goodness in his grace. We also see it in this passage in his exalting the humble. He lifts up those who are low. Listen again to the passage. "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you." So those who elevate themselves have God as their enemy. But those who bring themselves low have God as their ally, their support. He lifts them high. John Calvin, commenting on this passage, put it this way. He said, "Imagine God with one hand smashing down those who lift themselves up, but with his other hand lifting up the humble as their support, as their strength." That's absolutely right. That's what this passage is telling us. God crushes the proud and lofty, but he lifts high. He exalts those who humble themselves, and he does so when he's good and ready to. He does so at the proper time, at the perfect time. Now, we tend to think we know the right time. "Lord, I'm ready for that elevation. Go ahead. Now seems good. Yesterday might have been better." But the Lord, he knows the proper time to exalt those who would humble themselves. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Listen to these words from James chapter 4. "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." So we must trust him. We trust that God knows what he's doing, that he's going to take care of us. I don't have to try to push myself up. The Lord will lift me up when it's the right time. We must wait for the Lord. We must not demand that he do things according to our schedule. We see God's goodness in his grace and his exalting the humble. Thirdly, in this passage, we see God's goodness in his care. Do you see it there? His loving concern for us. We should humble ourselves because God cares for us. You need to acknowledge your need before God, knowing that he wants to meet those needs. God uses all of his strength for our good. Think about how these things fit together. We should humble ourselves before the greatness and the goodness of God. God is using his greatness to do good for us. These things work together to our benefit. Look at verse 6 again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Notice this is a continuation from verse 6. Casting your cares on the Lord is how you humble yourself. At least it's one of the ways you do it. Entrusting your concerns to God, giving your worries to him, is how you humble yourself. Peter is saying, humble yourself by handing over all your burdens to God. Now, why would he do such a thing? Because if we keep our burdens, we keep our concerns, we keep our worries, we're acting as if we can take care of everything without him. But when we humbly bring them to him, we're acknowledging we need his help. So how are you doing on that? Are you in the practice of regularly casting all of your worries, your anxieties, your burdens, your concerns on the Lord and trusting him to take care of them? Or are you keeping them all for yourselves, arrogantly thinking that you are going to solve them all on your own? Be done with your pride. Humble yourself and ask for the Lord's help. The antidote to worry is resting in God's good care. Verse 7 again, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So we give God what we're worried about, knowing that God, he's concerned about those things. He cares about our cares. Worry really is a form of pride. It's this temptation to live as if we are self-sufficient, we're independent, we've got everything. Now, yes, we should do what we can to be diligent in life, to take care of things. But when worry rises in your heart, when you're starting to realize that you're not in control, remember, yeah, that's actually true. You're not in control, but he is. He calls us to cast our cares, our concerns upon him. Here's Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalmist writes, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Again and again, we're told that the Lord, he's going to take care of us. So cast your cares, your burdens on him. Or listen to 2 Chronicles 16:9. What an image. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. God wants to help us. He's inviting us. He's commanding us to bring all of our worry, all of our concern to him humbly. John Piper put it this way. God is strong enough, wise enough, and good enough to take your concerns onto his shoulders. Amen. God can do it. He can take care of it. He can handle it. So cast your worry, your concern on the Lord. Humble yourself before the greatness and the goodness of God. Let's read it one more time. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The mighty hand of God is mentioned again and again in the Old Testament in reference to God rescuing his people, saving them from Egypt. Yes, humble yourself before God's might, knowing that he uses his might for your good. God cares for you. Don't you see how ridiculous it is to live in pride, to act as if you're the best, you're in control? None of that's true. Do you see how wise it is to humble yourself before the Lord, before his greatness, and before his goodness? Next time you're recognizing that you're beginning to fret, you're beginning to worry, anxieties are building, and you just don't know how it's all going to work out, let me just encourage you to strengthen your soul with the promises of Scripture. Think of our memory verse. So here's Isaiah 40, verse 10. God says to us, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What a promise. God says, "Cast your burdens, your concerns on me. I care for you. I have the power to do something about it, and I have the goodness, the love, the care to do it for your good." We should never cease to be amazed by the greatness and the goodness of God, and we should humble ourselves before it. Humble yourselves before the greatness and goodness of God. Let's pray. Lord, your way is best. Lord, help us not to be stupid in acting as if we can handle everything on our own. Oh, we are so needy, so dependent. But Lord, let us recognize that dependence is actually a wonderful thing, because it leads us to worship. It shows us that you are the great one, that you are the good one. Lord, help us to trust in you in all of life. Lord, we're asking for your aid. We need your help to humble ourselves. It is never pleasurable to be humbled by other situations, by others, certainly not to have God Almighty humble us. Lord, help us to humble ourselves. We pray this in the name of Christ.